Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Golf Show with Brian Katrick.
He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives.
And Ollie Dean.
I really am rugged and handsome.
It's early Sunday morning. The sun is coming up. I'm on the tee at 7. I'm here to try my luck. They say this game's a tough one, but I'll give it my best shot. Though the bunkers look like beaches and the greens like parking lots. Oh, Lord.
Big match coming up. Brother's going to be me and the caddy.
What am I going to do?
Why don't you try him a little left? And why don't you try backing up? Give me just a little room.
Help me keep my head down. Save me from those double bogey blues.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass.
You know, you don't deserve any credit hitting the ball with that swing of yours. Try to hit one with my swing.
I'm catching on the ball, right? I'm moving my head. Now, I'm laying it off. Well, that's two. I'm proning. You're not shooting me. I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too early. My God, my swing feels like unfolded lawn chair.
Keep my head down.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Save me from the double bogey blues.
Gunga, galunga.
Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday morning to you. It's the Golf Show on the Fan, 680 93.7 FM. Pine Tree Country Club, scene of the club championship. Ollie Dean will be in studio without me later today. It's magic. Don't. There's some stuff you're going to have to explain. I'm not sure exactly how you're going to explain it.
I'm probably just not going to explain it at all.
There's just, you know, it is what it is. Tour Championship weekend this week here. We're a week earlier than normal.
About to crown a champion.
Yeah. The weather issues yesterday. They'll get it all sorted out. It's not going to be an issue. I hearken back to years past, and it's great this week. We've had, other than that, really good weather. All of a sudden, it got hot over the weekend. It's going to be hot today.
Hot brings thunderstorms.
Yeah. But I hearken back to some of the years past. And
you hearken?
I'm hearkening.
You're hearkening?
Are you okay with me hearkening?
I haven't heard hearken in a while. I need to bring out my Mark Twain.
Yeah. I'm going to hearken back. Do you remember we used to play this? It was basically 2 weeks later. It was Labor Day weekend. So
it was even later than that.
Well, it used to be back in October. I mean, yeah. Tiger wore the Halloween costume.
That is
Phil
correct.
Skipped it once to go trick or treating.
My mind is hearkening back to that now.
Well, I like that you hearkened. Well, you over hearkened.
I have over hearkened before.
Yeah, I was just more of a mid hearkening back to when we played this that Labor Day weekend, and remember we even had a Monday finish at least once to the Tour Championship. But what Labor Day weekend did was it brought the golf fans here. On the same weekend that you had the Chick-fil-A college football kickoff.
Yes.
And most entertainingly, Dragon Con.
Yes. And working downtown, it was then the SunTrust building, that was a very entertaining weekend.
Yeah.
You got to see a lot of different sights. If you enjoyed people watching at any level.
Yeah.
Seeing Alabama fans, sometimes LSU fans, sprinkled in with Poison Ivy and Captain America. It was quite the eclectic crowd, a motley crew, if you will.
And a motley crew. That's the only thing we were missing, was a big-time concert.
That is true.
So it's a little calmer than normal. Still a lot of excitement. I know a lot of folks out there at East Lake and have been having a lot of fun at East Lake, as they should.
Yeah, and usually, you know, it's great to see the fireworks that happen during the Tour Championship. You know, Tiger's run, the throngs of people following up the 18th fairway, Rory McIlroy holing out to win a FedEx Cup. I think it was the 14th or 15th hole he holed out on.
I think it was 15.
Yeah,
no, it was 16.
Okay,
15 is par 3.
So lots of fireworks this week, lots of people trying to be a champion, but the fireworks started a little early this week.
Yeah, Wednesday. Wednesday, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan came in And I had made the tennis match reference on PGA Tour radio. The ball was clearly in PGA Tour's court when it comes to what is going to happen with LIV Golf. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time. It's coming to a head. And you didn't know if what Jay Monahan was going to do on Wednesday was going to be the winner, but it was going to be, it was clearly the PGA Tour's shot. Ball was in their court. They were going to hit one, and it was going to be a pivotal blow.
Yeah, it certainly was their serve at deuce.
Yeah. So what Jay Monahan did, I think, was gigantic. What he announced on Wednesday, which we're going to go into, just so you know, just for context, the most sweeping changes and the busiest and most important day in the history of the PGA Tour. That's what Wednesday was. There isn't a close second.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever selling that point at all.
Since the organization got founded, since they split with the PGA of America in the late 60s, you know, that was busy.
Yeah.
You had the rumblings of a players' union back in 1994, the World Tour. There was a possible split. Again, that wasn't great. None of that was nearly as important or tumultuous as what happened at Eastlake on Wednesday when the commissioner spoke.
No, I agree with that. As I said, I don't think you're ever selling that point at all. And I kind of want to go back, and I forget which tournament was his first press announcement where he talked about LIV, and we talked about it on the radio, and I think it'd be too harsh a term to say it was critical, but I certainly questioned if he was the right guy to be the front man for this battle that was coming. I think I used the analogy of the Godfather, and you have a wartime and a peacetime consigliere.
Great analogy.
And obviously Jay Monahan was a great peacetime consigliere. Revenues are through the roof. TV deals are at record levels. He has driven the PGA Tour forward, taken the mantle from Tim Fincham. But I didn't know if he was the wartime consigliere. He came off certainly measured in that first press conference, certainly reserved, seemed defensive. That all changed this week. He is your wartime consigliere. He came off very strong, very powerful, very direct. There was no ambiguity to his stance on, you know, where the current PGA Tour is going to go and where the players that have left, you know, what place they don't have with the tour. So I thought it was his best moment.
So here's what they did. Snapshot, they took the LIV model, and they got it as close to it as the current PGA Tour regulations and a financially feasible landscape would let them go. They didn't copy it. They got close to it. They headed in that direction, which was smart. As Jason Sobel wrote, if you can't join them, beat them.
Yeah.
Twisting that around. Elevated purses now. There were already 13 events with elevated purses. They added, there's going to be four more that are going to be announced. But to get this in order, what happened was this was a reaction to, and this was the door was open for this by the players themselves being okay with it. They're gonna play more now. Rory's premise that he laid out last week, which is a premise we've heard over and over again, but Rory said it last week after that players only meeting, hey, we're going to get the best players in the world together more often.
Yes.
So you got to go back to where the regulations were. The tour players were required to play 15 events. They could play any of the 15 events.
Sure.
Any 15 of the 47, and there used to be 48. There may have been a year that there were more than that, but 15 events. The tour wasn't going to tell them where to go or when to be there.
Nope. Their choice.
No, they, absolutely. You like the grass here. You like the islands here. You like the elevated purse there. You don't like the greens at this course. Whatever it is, you make your schedule. We need you at 15. Here's 47 to pick from. Well, now they've gone up. They've gone up to 20.
Including the majors.
Including the majors. They're going to ask, and I believe even mandate, some specific spots. That allows them to sell the specific spots. You don't get there unless the players allow you to get there.
Yes, I want to clarify. When you say specific spots, you're talking about, hypothetically, the Memorial will be one of the events that you have to play to count towards your
if 20. You're in it.
Yeah, if you're in the top,
you gotta go.
PIP, then you're going that direction. I agree with that. I want to go back to something that you said is, you know, the players agreed with Jay to do this. I got the sense that the players were driving this.
Yeah.
And Jay was like, there guiding maybe where they wanted to go and how they wanted to do this. But I loved your reference of, you know, when the PGA Tour formed by splitting with the PGA of America, that this was a player-led decision. Specifically, you know, the two most notable were Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. This seems to be player-led. The Tour's top players that have turned down the LIV money are rallying around the Tour and coming up with solutions that are going to allow Jay Monahan to announce what he just did.
Right. And so you talk about it from the Monahan standpoint. And Jay could have been our Ray Giudice interview of the month. I was lucky enough to chat with him on Wednesday. But at this point, it's all been played out. You heard enough about it. I don't know when Jay had this idea. We'll give them, give the Tour offices and all of those folks a lot of credit that they had this a couple of years ago. There were some other indications, one specifically that you pointed out, some acquisitions and some partnerships that led you to believe they saw this coming a lot longer ago than person X thinks they thought saw it coming. And Twitter is certainly unaware of how early the PGA Tour probably saw this coming.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure, you know, Twitter may be lurking around trees trying to hijack people for interviews, but they're not in the room.
They're not in the room.
No.
Definitely not in the room. So you see this coming, but this could not have been the commissioner's idea. Could you imagine if the commissioner came out and said, yes, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get some of our events with the purses up. We're still not going to pay a bunch of bonus money, and we're going to go up on our minimum from 15 to 20, and we're going to mandate that you be at some of those places. That's awful. That looks terrible. This has this has to be the players' idea. The players have to say, you know what? I understand what's holding us back, and it is the massive amount of freedom we have. We're willing to give up some of that freedom
for the health of our tour
and for the benefit of the fans.
Yeah.
Let's get together more often. And yes, I may not like the set of par threes at this particular course, but you know what? I'm going to show up because, as Rory said, when I turn on the TV, I expect to see Tom Brady playing quarterback for the Buccaneers. I'm watching a Formula One race, I expect to see Lewis Hamilton in a car. Those are the two examples he gave.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why I love what was proposed and is going to happen on Wednesday. Is it strengthens the whole tour. So instead of strengthening, you know, the top 20 guys only, and certainly it will affect them in an incredibly positive way, but you're not going to have a 20-person tournament at the Memorial.
No.
You're going to have a bunch of guys there playing for an elevated purse, and it's performance-based. So you might not be the top 20 in the PIP, but if you win it, you're still taking the whole check home.
It's 120 guys. Same thing at Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah, it's not prorated. You know, you don't make less if you're not part of the top 20. I was about to say you don't have to pay back some of your winnings, but maybe you do with one of the other announcements that was made. The $500,000 stipend.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to get to that.
That
was, by the way, the least important thing that he said on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was.
And poor John McGinnis on PGA Tour Radio. I love him. Since he lived that life.
Oh, that would have changed his life.
I think
life.
He said there was only one year in his career that he made more than $500,000 in a year. He's like, yeah, that's a big deal. I'm like, well, sorry, I don't mean to be the Grinch, but nobody cares.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not 1987 anymore.
No.
I don't know when he played on tour.
He was a little after that. Okay.
We'll go with 95.
How about 97?
The other point that I loved about what was announced is not only does it affect everybody on tour in a positive way that's going to get into these events, but it also strengthens the existing tour schedule.
Yeah.
They didn't create new events out of the ether. They're elevating existing events. And my understanding is some of those events will rotate.
Yeah.
So that's going to benefit the entire tour schedule. So you're benefiting the entire tour, and you're benefiting everybody from a tournament standpoint on the tour schedule.
Hadn't heard him announce that the four might rotate, but that's an interesting thought. You know, if Genesis, which is at Riviera, that's Tiger's event, Bay Hill, Arnold Palmer's event, and the Memorial, Jack's event, as well as the Tournament of Champions, those were already announced. Those were announced months ago. And they're staying, and they announced four more that are going, three playoff events. The Players is already up, but they announced four more, and they didn't say what they were.
I think there was a follow-up question to Jay. Was there a possibility that those would rotate? And Jay said yes.
Oh, I like that idea.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I was sitting right in the room. I didn't hear that.
Now you're probably getting a donut or something.
I could have been. So they didn't have donuts. I would have gotten one.
The Danish pastry?
Yes. Take Sepp Straka's win. Last year at the Honda Classic, it was the week before Bay Hill, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if Sepp Straka was in the Arnold Palmer Invitational or not, but that win at the Honda Classic, even if it wasn't a win, if he misses the putt and he winds up finishing second or third, that's a gigantic week for him. It gets him in that next week.
Right.
And maybe he was already in, but I feel like he wasn't.
We'll go with that.
Now we've got an additional storyline to add. And, you know, the, you know how to get in the Arnold Palmer Invitational? Because the players do, but I had to look up the criteria. Invitationals aren't just that. It's a 120-player short field. We know how to get in the Tour Championship. You got to finish top 30 in FedEx Cup points. But why would somebody get in Bay Hill or not get in Bay Hill? Well, one of the big criteria is top 70 in FedEx Cup points. It's top 70 from the past year, but it's also the top 70 in that current year, and there's a cutoff. And isn't that a cool storyline? So you get these 20 haves, but the have-nots feed into the haves. And this is a storyline that we haven't really paid attention to. All of a sudden, playing your way into next week matters if next week's got a $20 million purse.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of what's going on.
Well, as a golf fan, as someone who loves the game of golf, loves to, you know, consume the game of golf, all you've done is elevate a bunch of tournaments, and you know the best players in the world are going to compete there. So that's a big win for the consumer of golf.
Yeah.
And it's a win for the tour, rank and file, top players. I don't see where anybody loses in this.
No. There are folks that say this is just ripping off. This is Live Light. They're ripping off Liv's idea.
Okay.
The element that I just mentioned is one thing that sets it apart. You're not playing in your way into Live events the week before.
No, you're certainly not.
It's more of a closed shop than this. Not super negative. You're not trying to be negative about what they got going on, but there's no playing your way in. There's none of that drama. We see that at the Masters every year.
Sure.
You know, the Texas Open, the winner gets in. You see it at the John Deere Classic, the winner, and they have spots in a few events leading up to the British Open. The top three players that aren't in, if you finish qualified. The top 10. Yeah, mm-hmm. Love that.
Sure.
That is a great storyline. Liv doesn't have that.
No.
So you're not ripping that off. The folks, what's entertaining about them saying you're ripping Liv off is, the tour did launch a similar idea to Greg's World Tour back when we talked about the World Golf Championships. It could easily be argued and has been argued that the tour was working on the idea on their own. Greg publicly had the idea. They both had the same idea at the same time. One of them could pull it off. The other one didn't.
Sure.
Don't know how accurate any of that is. But if this is a redo of that, well, that's a very entertaining storyline. Are they ripping them off again? I don't know that Liv's supporters really want to go down that road, do they?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think there's another point to that argument. If I spend $2 billion to rip off your best players, who's ripping who off?
Yeah.
I mean... I paid $2 billion to get your product. I don't think Liv has any room to complain about this.
Wouldn't think so.
And if they truly believe in their product and they believe that they're going to be able to grow the game globally and do all the things that they want to do, whatever these guys on the tour are doing right now shouldn't affect them at all.
Yeah, that is what anyone that's staying on the PGA Tour has been saying. And yeah. they said that in reference to the lawsuit was... The lawsuit doesn't seem to make sense. You made a choice. You went over there. If you're comfortable in the choice, A, why do you want to come back? And yeah. B, why do you want to come back with some sort of legal action? If the grass was so much greener over there, which, by the way, for $125 million, which is what some of these guys got.
That grass was pretty green.
Pretty dead gum green.
Yeah.
That might, why
be,
are we even
that might be evergreen. Forest green.
That might be AstroTurf.
British racing green. It's whatever hue of green is your favorite, there was a lot of green over there.
Yeah, what do you want to come back for? And then the answer is the one thing that's left now, and that is we still don't have an answer or any movement on world golf ranking points.
No, we certainly don't. But it is a ridiculous lawsuit. I loved what the judge said. How can you say that these four players have to play in, you know, the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup playoffs because it's the Super Bowl of golf when you say that your product is better.
Yeah, you have the Super Bowl of golf.
So let's be a little consistent in our argument. And for those of you listening wondering where my allegiance lies, yeah, I'm gonna lean towards the PGA Tour.
You are more than entitled to your opinion.
And so is everyone that disagrees with me.
Yeah. you...
If you're one of the 37,000 people that tunes in during the final rounds on YouTube of a live exhibition event, you have that right.
You have absolutely no predetermined allegiances to the PGA Tour. You're a private citizen, Ollie Dean.
Yeah, they have never written me a check.
They have written me several. They're providing about half of my income.
Okay, so yeah, I have much less vested interest than you.
Yeah, and I'm trying to see it as much down the middle as I possibly can. I've told you about my times and experiences and friendship with Greg Norman. I will look back on those days fondly. I sang happy birthday to him and ate ice cream at his 65th birthday party, and I watched him eat ice cream, which I was floored by. I've got very positive memories.
Are you sure that it wasn't yogurt?
I am positive, because I would not have dug it. And I was wondering,
was it a sugar-free ice cream?
When I bit into it, I was wondering how many people are going to see the face that I'm about to make if this is not what I think it is.
I've never had tofu Rocky Road.
There was a young lady that ran his brand at the time who was the closest person. She would have probably been a decent confidant. I could have probably confided in her, but it was real ice cream, and it was great. I've got very fond memories of Greg Norman. I don't share all of this vision. I love you. Part of his idea was, let's get the best players in the world together more often. That was part of his vision.
Sure.
This road that he went down didn't get there, but I appreciated what he was trying to do. He was the undervalued superstar. That's what he was during his career. He was the overexposed, undercompensated superstar. You compare him to superstars. He was Tiger before Tiger. He was Arnold and Jack after Arnold and Jack. This guy was, they were making way more money off of him than he was off of them. Keep in mind, part of the Greg Norman story is Greg making money off the golf course as opposed to on the golf course. Great businessman.
Yeah, but he would have never had those opportunities to make the money off the golf course if it hadn't been the foundation that was given to him by the tour that he is now suing.
That's very true. And that's where there was a stop on that train track
but he was the Arnold Palmer? Stop it.
He was the face of professional golf.
Arnold Palmer was beloved in the locker room. Arnold Palmer sacrificed himself for the benefit of his peers. He helped uplift an entire sport that everybody benefited, not just him and his buddies.
Yeah. You could take it all the way right up to Greg having this idea. He's thinking he's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all there.
Okay.
Greg saw the backup quarterback on a team nobody's ever heard of making more than him and thought, man, I'm the face of this sport. Our stars are undervalued. And that was the idea behind the World Golf Tour idea. That's the idea behind what Jay Monahan said. Hey, the stars are undervalued. Okay, let's do what we can to change that. Now, first thing is we're going to need you all together. And that's the brilliance of what happened, was the players decided, yeah, we get it. We got to play against each other. We can't just show up two of us at a time while the other rest of us are posting videos of our spring break vacation. We got to all get together if we can.
I see your argument, and I love you.
You don't have to agree.
But I'm not sure. Because
I would sing happy birthday to you.
I did not. That is fair. But I look at what Tiger Woods has done during this process. So he was offered literally a row of Brinks trucks to back up to his place in Jupiter to do something that, in essence, at its worst, is going to destroy the PGA Tour as we know it. At best, at least be an entity that usurps a lot of money from the PGA Tour. And he turned it down, and he's doing everything that he can to help the tour grow, not because it benefits him solely, but it benefits the tour that allowed him the platform that he created. I could be wrong. I never, shared birthday cake and tofu ice cream with Greg.
It wasn't tofu.
But I just don't see that same selfless act that I see out of what Arnold Palmer did and most recently what Tiger Woods has done.
It's just not evil. It's not all evil. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Wasn't all evil.
I'm good with that.
Pressure's on them. World Golf Ranking Points. We'll talk more about that when we come back. We're going to get into all the scores from East Lake. Ollie Dean, Brian Katrick. It's the Golf Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And now it's time for Who's Driving? brought to you by Ray Giudice. If you're facing DUI charges, you need a DUI lawyer who will step up to the tee for you. Call Ray Sell at 404-964-4185 to schedule an appointment.
Well, perhaps the most impressive person that's driving this week, probably getting to an age where she's not going to do a lot of driving anymore, 83-year-old Joanne Carner, U.S. Senior Women's Open, playing again. She's a 43-time LPGA Tour winner. First round, goes out and shoots her age.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Good for her.
83-year-old, shoots 83. It doesn't matter what happened after that. In her, as a matter of fact, she shot it again. So that's what happened after that. Two 83s for Joanne Carner.
On a championship golf course.
Yeah.
A major championship.
At 83 years old.
What'd you shoot today?
I don't know what you're talking about. It's 9:30 in the morning.
Good point.
Yeah. But could easily be 83.
Yeah, if I went out and shot today, I'd take 83.
Yeah, could easily be 83. So congratulations to Joanne Carner.
That's well done.
Yeah, that really is. All right, one other story we talked about with the LIV Golf situation. World Golf Ranking Points is the next battleground. It's probably about the last battleground left. There's still an antitrust lawsuit. I don't know. That thing's scheduled for 2024. I really think this is going to get settled by 2024. If the World Golf Ranking Points, if there's a decision made on World Golf Ranking Points, if LIV doesn't get them, I don't think they make it that far.
Really?
I really don't.
Wow. You might be right. I don't know. Did you see Patrick Reed's attorney subpoenaed Tiger and Rory?
No, I didn't see that.
Any sort of audio or visual content from the players only meeting?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, apparently subpoenaed Jay Monahan, but that was going to be a given.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen there with Patrick Reed? We'll come back to this World Golf Ranking situation. You've heard me say this. You've never seen Patrick Reed cheat. I've never seen Patrick Reed cheat because I've seen everything you've seen, and I know you haven't seen it because I haven't seen it.
We talked about it last week.
Randall hasn't seen it, right. Nobody's seen Patrick Reed cheat. There were allegations going back to college, and that was at the University of Georgia, where we have fine folks. You're one of those fine folks.
Fine institution.
And whatever they saw or heard or know about, they're just too good to talk about, because it just doesn't matter. It's in the past, and they're not going to gossip about this.
Or there was nothing to talk about.
Well, all of a sudden, that might be part of the discovery process also.
Could be.
If there was a transgression from your college days, and it speaks to character...
Yeah.
You can subpoena Tiger and Rory audio all you want.
But you're going to have to give a deposition yourself.
You got a bunch of teammates, college teammates, that are now PGA Tour members... that probably have a story to tell, factual story to tell.
That's probably enough talk about that, because I don't think it's even going to get to court.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's two public figures. There is no lawsuit there. There's no liable for $750 million. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The thing was, if it was against the PGA Tour, you'd have a chance, because the PGA Tour generally protects privacy issues. You'd have to avoid discovery. There is a price at which they'll just pay off. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Somebody might, but
this is against the Golf Channel and NBC, and I don't think they have those issues. I don't think they care. They don't have those concerns.
Agreed. I think the next big date is, there was all these rumors there were going to be 10 defections after the Tour Championship. With everything that's been announced, do you think that number is reduced?
Rex Hoggard with a story that there are either 6 or 7, I forget what he said, 6 or 7 that will take place tomorrow. That's what he's hearing. I don't know. I'm interested to see. And his angle on the story is a bunch of them that are International President's Cup players. President's Cup's coming up here in a couple of weeks. The Boston event is next week.
Yes.
Then what you have is the BMW PGA Championship. This is the European Tour's players, basically. It takes place at Wentworth, which is their headquarters. Mm-hmm. There are now more than 12 LIV players that have entered that event. They're all in the top 60 in the world right now. That's how they're getting in.
Yeah, and my understanding is the DP World Tour did not have the same provision in its handbook, if they even had a handbook, that said you needed to get releases or face disciplinary action to play in tour events that weren't sanctioned by your own tour.
They had different rules, but their punishment comes down to money.
Yeah, I know they fined it, but I didn't think they had anything in their rules that disallowed it.
If these guys are going to play, they are all going to get what is being reported as a six-figure fine. So let's just say it's the low six figures, the lowest you could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 100 grand.
Yep.
Is that six figures?
That is.
Okay. That's the lowest you can get.
Pretty sure I know someone that's probably going to write a check for them to play in it.
I was going to say, but are they? Okay, that's as a professional golfer, that's a heck of a gamble. You're not paying 100 grand to play in a full field event with a cut if that's your entry fee.
I think their employer will cover that.
You think so?
I would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if I had that much money, what do I care?
You spent so much money at this point. You said there's 10 players?
12, more than 12.
All right, so you're spending $1.2 million for all the publicity this is going to drive for you, and it's going to keep your name in the paper?
Yeah.
I mean, you paid $10 million for, I mean, no offense meant, but for Pat Perez. So that seems like $1.2 well spent.
I think you paid more than that for Pat Perez.
Fair enough. Hey, good for him. Hey, good for all. I want to make this clear. I don't begrudge anybody going over there and cashing that check.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their decision. So I have no issue with that at all.
Yeah. Speaking of cashing checks.
You got that money you owe me?
I'm going to have to because this is a bittersweet moment here on the program. You have personal changes that have hit the Ollie Dean Corporation.
Changes. Yes, the Ollie Dean Corporation. I have accepted a position with a sports marketing agency here in Atlanta. And I'll be representing a Fortune 500 company, handling their sponsorship platform and portfolio. Extremely excited about that opportunity, but you're absolutely right. It's been bittersweet in the last couple of weeks because I have enjoyed sitting in this chair next to you so much. And I thank you for giving me that opportunity. I thank David Dickey and Scott McFarlane for having faith in me to do this show. Hopefully we've been very entertaining. I know we've made ourselves laugh quite a bit. Hopefully the audience has laughed with us. Hopefully we've made you think a little bit. And certainly appreciate everybody that tuned in and listened to us.
I'm going to echo the sentiments of David and Scott McFarlane, who reiterated to Ollie this week that the door is still and always open. Always is putting it strongly. You never know what's going to happen, but it's definitely still open. We're thrilled for you. We're excited for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
If I'm that marketing company, and if I'm that account, I want you on here.
Well, I mean, don't give away the chair permanently. You know, I may be able to make some guest appearances, come in and give you my opinion that anyone that supports and loves LIV Golf will probably not like. I'll be happy to do that.
Well, look, you and I have been friends for a lot longer than this run, and we'll be friends for a lot longer than this run.
No, we'll be friends forever.
Ollie Dean stepped up when, we talked a lot. We've always talked a lot. And you could see that this was a stress point in my life as we were down a man, and we've been down a man. And if I could only find a guy that I could trust to come in and have these conversations, and you and I had these conversations during rounds of golf, so I knew it worked. We'd have four-hour versions of this show.
Yes.
And, you know, well, you were okay at it. You showed potential.
I appreciate that.
And I thought... Wow, and you volunteered to come in and say, you know what, I can help. And you did help. And it got even so far as, a week or so ago, my partner on PGA Tour Radio wasn't there. Now, you've made various appearances on that show because we'd be traveling the country together and I'd have to stop to do the show. So wherever I was, you were on the show too. But you were the other guy. You were John McGinnis. You were everybody's favorite character on the whole channel. That's everybody loves him. He's their favorite. And you took his spot. And nobody batted an eyelash. Like, you filled his shoes. It wasn't just the shoes here or being able to jump in there with me. You jumped in there for the most beloved guy on the channel. And, that's high praise, man. You did it.
Well, you're way too kind. And I tell people all the time, you are the consummate professional. You make sitting next to you, having a conversation with you, incredibly easy. So if I've had any success, it's because of how easy you've made it for me.
Well, we're going to miss you. And luckily, we're not going to miss you much or for that long because I don't think you're leaving. That's where I'm at with this. Is I'm just at a refusal to believe.
So I can keep the parking pass?
Yeah, sure. I'm at a full refusal to believe. You're going to go. You're going to see your new colleagues. You're going to get the feel for the place. And somebody's going to say, of course we need you on Sunday mornings. It's free advertising.
Well, we will see how that plays out. But I'd be remiss if I didn't thank someone that's been incredibly important to the content that I've been able to provide. And I know that I've been critical of him, but thank you, Greg Norman. Without this entire Live Golf event, a lot of my expertise and my background in the world of sports marketing and representing properties and growing properties value, it never would have come into play on this golf show. So thank you, Greg.
How lucky were we that this was the primary story during your entire run here, and we got a guy that an absolute expert in that field. You could have been a teacher, right? You could have been a golf teacher, a swing professional. That would have been awesome.
I'd have brought nothing to that conversation.
Not one thing. No. I'm lucky to have you as a co-host.
I'm lucky to have you as a friend.
Yeah, luckier to have you as a friend, and I can't thank you enough.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it immensely.
You're going to go over the scores. I'm going to head out on the golf course. Pine Tree Club Championship going on. The purse a little smaller. Than the FedEx Cup points.
When you finish in the top 10, are you going to get, like, you know, per shop credit? Going to get?
Would think so. Would hope so.
Something?
Maybe a belt.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, they've got good knitted belts.
Ooh, I like the knitted belt.
Yeah.
Well, play well.
We'll certainly try. You've got scores to get into from the Tour Championship and everything else.
Big day. Champion going to be crowned here in a little bit.
So all that coming up here. It's the Golf Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Before you hit the links, start your morning with the Golf Show. Now back to Brian Katrick and Ollie Dean on Atlanta's Golf Station, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Golf Show, 680-93.7 FM. I am Ollie Dean. Derek Thomas is the man making the magic happen behind the glass. Derek, the horn has sounded. Play has commenced. The Tour Championship is back underway. What a leaderboard. Have you checked this out, Derek? Look at who's the top five are.
It's beautiful. It really is.
I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Sungjae Im, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Sepp Straka. Go Dogs. Hey. John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay. That's your top five. And I know it's more than five, but there's ties for fifth. So who's counting anyway?
Masters champion Hideki Matsuyama. Right there. He's actually in. Weather delay yesterday. Coming back. We just had the horn start. So, looking to finish up this third round before we get ready for the final round.
Kind of a crazy third round. Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele had certainly distanced themselves from the pack with the weighted scoring that you get headed into the final tournament of the year. But they did not take advantage of yesterday's scoring. I think they were cumulatively only one under, and there were a lot of 66s, a lot of 67s. A lot of people closed the gap. Justin Thomas has a tiny birdie putt to, I believe, finish his third round on 18, so he's going to gain one more stroke. Do you think it's wide open? Do you got a favorite? What are you thinking, Derek?
It's hard to root against Scottie Scheffler right here. He seemed to be... I don't want to say conservative yesterday, but he was just sitting his fairways, sitting his greens, not taking a lot of chances. And, yeah, what do you have, a five-shot lead at some point yesterday? And that's withered down to, or maybe four at some point yesterday?
Yeah, four or five.
Withered down to one. I love the way Sungjae Im is playing right now. And Rory, if you take away Rory's horrendous start on Thursday... Yeah, I was right here in this exact spot. Watched Rory tee off.
You think triple bogey is a bad way to start a tournament?
Well, that first swing, I saw that first swing, and it was the old one-handed finish, and he hit it straight over the fence there on what now number one, what we think of as number 10 sometimes, off the property. So triple bogey start for Rory McIlroy. So if he pars those, he's right there at 19 with Scottie Scheffler. So Rory making the best out of what he can do. And then, yeah, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, John Rahm. All within there, it should be an exciting finish today down there at Eastlake.
Yeah, certainly going to be a long day for the players that did not complete their third round. Justin Thomas, we're going to do play-by-play here as well since we've got live golf on in the studio. For those of you driving to church, driving to sporting events. We'll try and keep you updated. Justin Thomas did make his birdie to close out his 63 for the third round. But Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele still have about five holes to play. Rory McIlroy, who I think is a great call on your part, obviously an incredible amount of success on that golf course, came back after that triple bogey to end up shooting 67. He's got two holes left to finish up his third round. And 18, certainly a birdieable hole for most of these guys on top of the leaderboard. Maybe an eagle in play. There could be some volatility to close out the third round and head into the final.
Does this affect the guys? Is it that big of a deal for the guys that have a hole or two left versus the guys like, say, Hideki Matsuyama, who just finished his round yesterday and doesn't have to worry about going out there and playing two holes this morning before he tees off at, you know, what, 1 o'clock or so?
I think that's a great question. I would say it would affect you less in this tournament because of the limited field. So if you think about if it happens in a regular tour event where you have 70 people making the cut, you've got to wait for theoretically, you know, 50, 55 people to tee off before you get back on the golf course. And I think it's hard to find your rhythm of how you normally approach a round. But because there's only 30 people at the Tour Championship and a couple have dropped out, so it's even less than that, you're not waiting that long before you get back on the golf course. So I think it's a great question. I think it probably affects them less at this limited field event than it would at a full field event. Does that make sense, Derek?
Absolutely. I got to give you a lot of credit for that.
Man, I get on the credit board before I leave. I'm so excited. I think I'm quoting this right, but did you see the story that if Sepp Straka wins the Tour Championship, he will win more for winning this event than he has his entire PGA Tour career today.
Wow. Well, yeah, what is it, $18 million to the winner?
$18 million.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid year right there in one tournament.
That is a pretty solid year. I would like to see him do it. Go Dogs. Nice to see a Georgia Bulldog on top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if I got to pick somebody, I always pick Rory. He always breaks my heart. You ever have those? I mean, I grew up in Cleveland, so I'm used to my teams breaking my heart. I mean, the Browns broke my heart with the drive and the fumble. Yeah. The Indians broke my heart so many times. Now Guardians.
Cavs got that one.
Yeah, but I already moved away by then.
Yeah, doesn't count.
Yeah, and nobody really followed the Cleveland Cavaliers when I was growing up. They were not really in Cleveland. They were in Richland Coliseum. And actually, the nickname that they were given was the Cleveland Cadavers.
Just pull it right out of the back. Well, we've seen a bit of a renaissance from Rory. Probably fresh off when I called him the most overrated golfer in the world because I thought he was.
I think he was listening.
And
I think you can take credit for his renaissance.
And now he's fit. And then he finished top 10 on all four majors this year. So very impressive to see Rory coming back and playing some solid golf. And I wonder if he's gotten a little boost because he became, especially after Tiger's accident, he has been the face of the PGA Tour.
Well, he certainly has taken it personally.
Or at least the most outspoken, we could say, member of the PGA Tour.
Oh, no, he's been the face of the PGA Tour. That's fair to say.
And I wonder if that's boosted his game.
There certainly has been an intensity to him this season that I have not seen before. I think he took an attack on the tour, which is how he perceived it, and so do I, personally, and wanted to make a statement. And he has with his golf. It was heartbreaking to see him lose the British Open. That was the one that, you know, there's a lot of tournaments, if you're a Rory fan, that you think, man, he could have won that one. He certainly could have won that British Open.
Is he ever going to pull that one off? Wait, is he going to get the Masters? We need Rory to win a Masters championship.
Yeah, he's going
to. I always cheer. Like, I cheer for an American. Yeah, I cheer for the Americans for sure.
Sure.
But it's hard not to pull for Rory over the last year or so, and I'd love to see him get a green jacket.
Yeah, I believe he will don a green jacket.
Well, we'll see how he does today down there at East Lake. As you said, we're back in action. Just the leaders finishing up their third round before they begin their fourth round. What, teeing off round one? The leaders teeing off around 2 o'clock or so?
Yeah, Scotty right now is teeing off on the 14th hole to finish up his third round. It's going to be an interesting, interesting finale. Heartbreak for the Braves last night. Hopefully they can bounce back
today. We're talking about golf, man.
I had to get it out. It was heartbreaking to watch.
That was a tough one.
So spoiled with how well they've been playing. So
let's get on top, Kenley. Let's hit our spots.
Yeah, that's an interesting booker. So
you like Scotty today? I think Sung JM's gonna post a score today. That's my call. Take the under on Sung JM.
Well, Scotty just made birdie on 13, so he is now 20 under.
Two shots clear?
Yeah, I'm going to take Scotty.
It's probably not a bad guess.
But if I've got a dark horse to pick, and it's not Rory because I always pick Rory, Justin Thomas. That dude is a closer.
Playing well, too, yeah.
63 to close out his third round. I like his chances to get this done. Well, Derek, I've said a lot of thank yous. I would be a jerk if I didn't thank you.
It's been an honor, Ollie. I've been enjoying it, but I got a feeling we'll see you around here shortly.
Everybody keeps saying that. Apparently, hard to get rid of. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Is there chaos in your closet? Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.